Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Current Thoughts.
I'm your host, Jay, and
in this solo episode, I'm sharing how I plan our epic international adventures. This isn't something that I thought I really needed to talk about, but after talking with some friends of ours who wouldn't have even gone on a vacation unless we actually planned it for them, it made me realize there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to plan very large vacations or even small vacations, to be honest with you. And so I decided that maybe it's time that I actually shared how I plan our vacations to maybe make the process seem a little less intimidating and hopefully encourage others to get out there and actually start traveling more. So anyways, just to give you a little history, I've actually been somebody who's been traveling my entire life. I lived all over the world. My dad was in the military. I was in the military. And we've just been a big family of travel as far as I can remember as a kid. And even as an adult, my job has required me to travel quite a bit through not only the United States, but also I've been to Germany, I've been to Guam, I've been to Korea. And so travel has been a big part of my life. And so planning travel has become almost second nature to me. So just to give you a little more background, so in 2023, my wife and I, we planned a trip to London, Paris, and then Barcelona. And then from Barcelona, we were going to be taking a 15-day transatlantic cruise back to the U.S. This was my wife's first time to Europe, and it was a refresher for me for London and Paris, as I was stationed in England for 2 years and was pretty familiar with London, but London actually changed quite a bit since I was there last. Paris, I had been to as a young kid. I didn't really remember it, so that trip was a lot more memorable this time around. And I had never been to Barcelona. I had been to Spain before, but not to Barcelona. So Barcelona was something new to me. And neither of us had been on a transatlantic cruise before. Now, we both like to cruise, and we've been on about 18 or 19 cruises each, but this transatlantic was by far our longest cruise. So we weren't sure how we were going to fare on it, especially with having, I believe we had 6 straight sea days. And we weren't sure how we were going to like that or not like that. And then last year, we actually decided, by the way, that trip to London and Paris and Barcelona was almost a month, including the transatlantic cruise. And so then last year, we took a trip to Australia, the South Pacific, and New Zealand. And this one was just a little over a month. And it was both of our first times down under. And it was an epic trip to see stuff that we had always dreamed about seeing. And this is the type of travel that changes your life. And I just don't understand why more people don't do it. And like I said, maybe it's because a lot of it seems overwhelming, just the planning part. But it really doesn't have to be. So we also have another trip coming up this fall. Another really epic trip. Come to find out, we did like transatlantic cruising. So we had an opportunity because most transatlantic cruises, typically for like transatlantic, they go over to Europe during the spring and then they come back to the U.S. in the fall, when the weather gets a little cooler over in Europe. And so typically if you're doing like a repositioning cruise, which is kind of how you do a lot of transatlantic cruises, you would have to go over in the spring and then, you know, either fly back or spend the whole summer over there and then take a transatlantic cruise back. So it's really hard to kind of coordinate that. But a couple years ago, I kind of found that there was a cruise ship, the Carnival Mardi Gras, that we had been on before, and we really liked that ship. It's one of the Carnival's largest ships. And we found that it was going into dry dock in the fall. And what that means is that it was going in for some periodic maintenance. So it's actually taking a trip over in September, a 14-day transatlantic cruise. And then it's going to be in dry dock for 19 days. And then it takes the transatlantic back to the U.S. So this was kind of a rare opportunity for us. And so I talked to my wife and I said, hey, this is kind of an opportunity here. You know, maybe we could, you know, in those 19 days, go to Italy, go to Greece, two places that we both always wanted to go to. And so we pulled the trigger. So we now have a 14-day transatlantic cruise going over in September. We have 19 days in Europe, and then we take that same ship back to the U.S. for another 14 days. Then we had to get to planning. We had the cruise booked. And typically what I always try to say is, now this is something that a lot of people won't, this is a little more, probably more overkill than what a lot of people can do, because a lot of people don't have the time, this amount of time. So when we booked this cruise, just to give you some reference here, I'm going to kind of go through all the aspects of the cruise, because the cruise itself could be somebody's vacation. Obviously, a lot of people do 7-day cruises, and this is kind of double that. So this might be someone's vacation on its own. But I'm going to kind of go with our planning process of how we kind of, the thought process, how we did it. And so hopefully maybe it'll kind of settle in. Now, again, you don't have to do it for something this long, but the same process still applies no matter how long your trip is. So in this case, it doesn't always have to start with the travel, but in this case, it did start with the travel. It started with the cruise, or the cruises. But a lot of times, like for our trip to Australia, that one started with the destinations, the places we wanted to go and the things we wanted to see. So I'm going to kind of guide you through our planning process for our fall trip coming up to give you some understanding and kind of explain like the land part of it, because the land part of it's going to be more destination based as opposed to, you know, starting with the travel. So just bear with me. I know this might sound a little confusing here. So with us having the cruise, we knew what time we were going to be arriving into Barcelona, which is where we actually arrive into Europe. And we knew what time we were going to be departing out of Barcelona. So at this point, we knew that we had 19 days. And like I said, our intent was to go into Italy and to go into possibly Greece. Now, in doing that, we knew that we wanted to go to like Venice. We wanted to go to Rome. We would have liked to have gone to the Cinque Terre and maybe even Florence. When it came to Greece, I wasn't as familiar with Greece. I had been to Italy before when I was stationed in England. I went to Pisa in Florence, but nowhere else in Italy. And so Greece, we were thinking of Athens, Santorini, Mykonos. But the more research I did into it, obviously, you know, island hopping a little bit there, it was either going to be flying in, taking ferries, and then I wasn't really sure what all there was to do there. Well, partly into doing our research and trying to figure out where exactly we wanted to go, we found out that somebody on one of our cruise groups was actually doing the back-to-back cruises as well. And as soon as we got into Barcelona, they were flying to Munich and going to Oktoberfest, because Oktoberfest was still going to be going on. And a little history on me, when I grew up, my dad got stationed in Germany twice, once when I was really young, and once my last 3 years of high school. And so I've lived all over Germany. We've traveled all over Germany, but I never had an opportunity to go to Oktoberfest in Munich. So after talking to my wife, I asked her, hey, would this be something you're interested in? Because this is kind of like something that, you know, it's a once in a lifetime thing potentially, because you know, how often are we going to be in Europe when Oktoberfest is going on? So maybe this might be an option to do. And maybe it might be an option to do instead of going to Greece. Because the other fear that we had in Greece was in the fall, we weren't sure what the temperatures were going to be. We don't know how the water temperature were going to be. So we don't even know if it was actually a good time to go. And so we kind of made the decision to change it up. And instead of going to Greece, we were going to go to Munich, to Oktoberfest. And that was going to be our first stop. Once we got in from Barcelona, we were going to fly to Munich and stay in Munich for a couple of days to experience Oktoberfest. So again, when it came to Italy, I knew that we wanted to go to Venice. We both wanted to go to Venice. And Venice is one of those cities where, you know, it's with climate change happening and water levels rising, you just don't know how long it's going to actually be a viable option to go and visit. So you might want to go and visit it as soon as you can. So we definitely want to go and see it before anything happens to it. So we knew we wanted to go to Venice. Now, in getting down, we've heard about the Cinque Terre. We've done lots of research on the Cinque Terre. And if you're not familiar with what the Cinque Terre is five coastal cities on the coast of Italy, western coast of Italy, in Tuscany. These are all once cities. Couldn't get there by car. You couldn't get there by train. They were kind of locked in. And now you can get there by train, but there are villages that really there's not a lot of car traffic. And so it's scenic, romantic type of cities that are all connected. They all have hiking trails in between them. But then they also have a train that goes between each one of them as well as a ferry that goes out and takes you to each one of them as well. And it's kind of become more and more of a tourist destination to go and see. Now, we know that we're not going during high season over there because obviously it's in the fall, so it's kind of in the shoulder season. So we definitely knew we wanted to go there. But in getting from Venice to the Cinque Terre, we kind of have to pass through Florence. We had been on the Carnival Firenze, which is Italian for Florence, and it's an Italian themed ship. And so we just decided that maybe we'll stop in Florence for a couple of days as well. And what's close to Florence is Pisa. So we figured maybe we'd even stop on and see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, at this point, we're all just kind of tossing around maybe things, places we want to go, things we want to see. So we're kind of narrowing it down to figure out exactly where we want to go first. And then we're going to decide what we want to see in those places. And the other place we definitely knew we wanted to go was Rome. Neither of us had been to Rome. Rome has a lot to see there, a lot of history there, and a lot to take in. At that point, I think we narrowed it down to spending a couple of days in Barcelona, and then we were going to travel to Munich and spend a couple of days at Oktoberfest. Once we got to Munich, we're just going to be start heading south. So we're going to be going to Venice. Then from Venice, we're going to be going to Florence. Then from Florence, maybe take a day trip to Pisa, and then take the train to the Cinque Terre, stay in the Cinque Terre. And now we wanted to kind of slow down at the Cinque Terre. Most people, when they travel to the Cinque Terre, they go for a day, maybe a day or two. But we wanted to really take some time there and slow down and just really embrace it. And then we wanted to go to Rome. So now we kind of needed to figure out like roughly how many days we really needed in each location to do everything that we wanted to do. Now that we have the destinations down, we needed to figure out what all we wanted to do in those places. And the reason we figured out what we wanted to do first, because that determines how long we actually feel we need to stay in those places. And obviously we know we have 19 days in between our cruises to play with. So we knew that Oktoberfest, it's not just all about drinking beer there. I grew up there a lot, and I really want to show my wife the food, the festival that they have, the people that are there. We figured we wanted to probably spend about 2 days there. Now, we also knew that it was going to be expensive to find hotels there because obviously it's during Oktoberfest. But we kind of narrowed it down to 1.5 to 2 days. So then we moved down to Venice. And in Venice, after looking at all the things there was to do there, we knew that we wanted to go on a gondola ride. We wanted to go to Murano and Burano. We wanted to do St. Mark's Basilica and maybe Doge's Palace. And then we just kind of wanted to wander around the streets and kind of get lost as well. Now, we're big photographers, and so Venice is like a photographer's dream. There's all kinds of photo opportunities there. For us there, we wanted to look, we were looking at 2.5 to 3 days at a minimum to get everything done. So then we were looking at Florence. And in Florence, I don't know, Florence really wasn't, there wasn't a lot that I remember being there. And after looking it up, again, there wasn't all too much that I thought I saw either. So I was looking at maybe, again, a day to a day and a half there. And with maybe even like an early morning getting up and going and taking the train to Pisa to go and see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, again, I've seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa twice in my life, but I wanted to go with somebody like my wife. And I enjoy when I travel to places that I've already been to, showing people that I love and care about these remarkable places. And then we decided that we wanted to go to the Cinque Terre. And like I mentioned earlier, we didn't want to just do 1 day or 2 day. We wanted to actually take some time and explore all 5 cities. And there's a lot to see there. We're also kind of big hikers, but seeing these colorful homes in these coastal cities, again, it's another picturesque place for photographers. So we definitely wanted to take all that in. And this is where my wife, I'm more of a city kind of person. I actually like the bigger cities, the more touristy cities. I like London. I like Paris. There's just so much to do. I'm more of a street photographer. She's more of a landscape photographer. So my compromise to her was, okay, well, let's take some time, slow down there, and actually kind of embrace everything there. We actually kind of settled here on 5 nights there. We figured that would give us plenty of time to hike the trails in between the cities, to explore each one of the cities thoroughly, take photos, interact with the locals, try local foods. And then we also wanted to take the ferry and get the viewpoint from the sea and just kind of relax and unwind a little bit as well on some of our, that's one thing that unfortunately when I planned our London and Paris trips, we always had something to do. We were always going. And the one thing we didn't plan into was the downtime, giving us some downtime to actually relax and realize that we weren't conditioned yet for all the walking we were going to be doing. So this time I wanted to make sure that we had some downtime in between. And again, it's a romantic kind of coastal city there. So we wanted to take some time and just enjoy ourselves. And then when it came to Rome, obviously Rome has a lot to see there, a lot of history, and we didn't want to shortchange it either. So after figuring out all the things we wanted to go and see, we wanted to go see the Colosseum, the Roman Forum, the Palatine Hill, the Pantheon, the Vatican, the Spanish Steps, Trevi Fountain, just a lot of things there to go and see, and a lot of food to try as well. We decided on 4 nights there in Rome. And so when you kind of figure out what it is you want to do, it helps you figure out your time frame of how much time you actually need at those places. Now, again, this isn't always going to be possible because everybody has certain time frames that they can take vacations on, and you have to take that into consideration. So if you're only able to go for like a week, then obviously you wouldn't be hitting as many of these cities as we are. But the same process can still apply. So if you're planning a week vacation or a 2 week vacation, you want to make sure that you only hit the amount of cities that you actually have time for. Now that we have the destinations we want to go to, the time frame we need to spend in those places, now we can start making or looking at transportation and how we're going to get to each of these places and in between each of these places. And unlike here in the US, train travel is really phenomenal over there in Europe. But also when you're in Europe traveling by plane from certain places to certain places is relatively cheap as well. It's almost like flying from a state to a state here in the United States. We knew that flying from Barcelona to Munich was definitely the best route there because taking a train would take way too long. And I don't know if there was a direct train either. So when we're looking at the option between traveling between plane and train, we're looking at time, cost, and we're looking at how many connections are there. Are there direct train routes? Are there direct flights? And so we knew we wanted to spend a little more time in Barcelona. So when we get in on a cruise, we get in the morning on a Saturday morning. And so we decided that we knew that we didn't want to go to Oktoberfest on the weekend because that's when it's really packed and that's when the tents are really full. When you go during the week, it's easier to interact with others at Oktoberfest. We decided that we'd get up early on Monday morning and take a flight from Barcelona to Munich. I think we get into Munich something around 9:40, and because the Munich airport is about 45 minutes by train to the city center, we knew we had to plan accordingly to that as well. So obviously the earlier the better. And so we kind of, again, looking at flights. Right now we haven't booked anything. We're just looking to see what our options are. So we're writing down flights, we're writing down cost, and we're writing down the times of the flights. So we knew we wanted to fly in there. Now we're trying to figure out we wanted to spend a day and a half to 2 days. So if we're flying in Monday morning, we're looking at staying at least one night, but maybe two nights. And I think to give it the most, we were going to book two nights. And then that would put us there Monday and Tuesday night. And that means Wednesday morning, we were looking at trying to catch a train from downtown Munich at the main train station to Venice. Now, when I first looked at this, there wasn't a direct train route. There was basically going from Munich to Verona and then from Verona to Venice. But the more I looked into it, I did find a direct train, speed train, that went from Munich to Venice directly. It still went through Verona as a stop, but it basically, we never had to get off the train, and it was continuing on to Venice. So we were looking at that option. And then that was about a 7-hour train ride, but it looked like it also went through kind of like the Swiss Alps and stuff. So it looked like a very scenic train ride. And that's something that I wanted for us to experience as well. So we looked like, you know, we were willing to take the time because of the scenic train ride we were going to have. So in Venice, we would be getting in Wednesday afternoon, evening, checking in. And then, so we'd have like maybe Wednesday night to grab something to eat, walk around and do just a little stroll around the town. We'd have Thursday, we'd have Friday. And then I was looking at possibly Saturday heading from Venice to Florence. And again, we were looking at train. I think it was a 2-hour train. So we were going to get to Florence probably by midday on Saturday. It would give us time to check into our accommodations, drop off our luggage, go explore what Florence has to offer, go take some photos, and then wake up Sunday morning, take the train in about 9 to go to Pisa to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Probably head back, be back into Florence probably around noon to 1-ish, and spend the rest of the day in Florence. And then Monday morning, we were going to be taking the train from Florence to La Spezia, which is the biggest central train station close to the Cinque Terre. And then from La Spezia, we're going to take like a 10-minute train to Manarola. And I believe we had decided at this time we were looking into possibly staying in Manarola as an option. And then again, 5 nights there. So we're staying there Monday through Saturday. So Saturday morning, we would be getting up, taking the train through La Spezia again, down to Rome. Again, this was the speed train. I think it took about 4 hours. So we'd get into Rome about 11:30. And then again, drop off our luggage. Now, a lot of times, this is the other thing that a lot of people don't understand, is that in Europe, a lot of the hotels or the accommodations, the places that you stay at, they will allow you to drop off your luggage and store your luggage as a place, even if you're not able to check in just yet. A lot of them do offer early check-ins, but if they don't offer early check-in, they do also have an option to drop your bags off, and they'll hold your bags until you come back and check in. So you're not stuck just having to wait to check in. So then I figured in Rome, you know, obviously we'd get there on Saturday. We'd have half of Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, we'd be catching a flight back from Rome to Barcelona, because again, the train would have taken way too long. And the tickets were really cheap. So taking a flight, quick flight from Rome back to Barcelona. We'd be staying one night in Barcelona and then catching the cruise back to the U.S. the next day, next morning. So that's how we kind of figured out the transportation. So now we had to go back and start looking at accommodations. Now, at this point, we haven't booked anything. We're looking at everything here, kind of logging down the different places and the different options we have. And at this point, now we start looking at accommodations. And now, I don't know, a lot of people aren't comfortable. They only want to stay at like hotels or something. But you have hotels, you have apartments, you have Airbnbs. And I would venture to tell people to even try to look at hostels. Now, hostels, when I was stationed over in England, I stayed in hostels all the time in London. Now, I was a lot younger then, and to me, it was one of those places where they are typically known for like young people staying at them, sharing rooms, having a community bathroom. And that's what I thought as well, until we took our trip down to Australia and we stayed in a hostel. And we absolutely loved it. We actually had our own private room. It was just like a regular hotel room. We had our own private bathroom, but the community area in the lobby was very prime for interacting and meeting other people from other countries and kind of just making new friends. And sometimes you'd end up finding somebody that you actually clicked with, and next thing you know, you were planning to do something with them. We saw this all the time. So they're very conducive for solo travelers. And I would almost venture that if you are a solo traveler, that don't rule out hostels. They're cheaper than hotels, cheaper than Airbnbs, and they're a good way to meet other travelers as well. So we look at all the options that we have. In Barcelona, it just made sense for us to book a hotel. At least that's from all the options that we had. They were cheap enough, they were in the right locations, and they just seemed to be perfect for us. In Munich, This one was a little bit harder because, again, like I said, when Oktoberfest is going on and you want to stay down in the city center where Oktoberfest is actually going to where potentially you could walk to Oktoberfest, you knew you were going to be paying higher prices. Again, this is also why we only opted to stay two nights in Munich, was because of the high prices. But we were able to find a hostel that we were able to get our own private room with our private bathroom. And it was literally right next to the train, you know, close to the train station there. So as soon as we got off, we could walk right to our hostel, drop our bags off, go to the, and we could walk right to Oktoberfest. So it was kind of perfect location for us. And then, of course, when we had to catch the train going from Munich to Venice, it was right there. The train station was there as well. So that's one tip that I would say, that a lot of the train stations in Europe, in the major cities, the train station seems to be centrally located in the heart of the city. And so, again, that's another reason why traveling by train tends to be so perfect. So when we stayed in London, we also stayed close to the train station as well, just because this made it easy, because in London, you could get around anywhere in the city as long as you were close to a train station. And it was just a walking distance away from where we were staying. So it kind of worked out even better. So that might be a little tip for those of you guys that are going to some of these bigger cities, is try to stay close around the train station, just because it's going to be easy to get to your accommodations without having to, you know, take a taxi or get back to the train station to get around the city and even maybe depart to go on to your next location. As long as the around surrounding area is in a safe area, because there are some places, some train stations that around the train station is not the best place to stay. So we found a hostel in that was like a good price for two nights. So we decided to stay there. We went in Venice. In Venice, we actually found, because a lot of people are saying don't stay on the island of Venice, it's a lot cheaper to stay off the island. But we wanted to actually get up early in the morning and go walking around the city when the, you know, sunrise was coming up and he had the good light for photography. We also wanted to be there in the evenings when, and just have experience and walk around the canals and kind of get lost. And so we're kind of glad that we chose the place that we found. We actually found an apartment that was on the island, and it's kind of really somewhat close to St. Mark's Square, so it's not too far away from there. Then in Florence, we were looking around again. We knew we were coming in by train, leaving out by train. So again, we wanted to stay somewhat close to the main train station there. So we found a hotel right around the train station that accommodated us. That worked out perfect for us for two nights. And then we did, after looking at Rio Maggiore or Manarola or some of the other cities as well, it just seems that Manarola and Rio Maggiore had most of the options, or the better options, I guess, for places to stay. So we found an apartment there, and the apartment that we found was like just spectacular, because it's literally overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. And right there, beautiful view. So we were really thrilled about that. And then Rome, we found another apartment as well. And again, this one, we knew we were coming in by the train station. Now, this one, kind of certain areas around the train station are not the best. This place is not right exactly around the train station, but it is within walking distance of the train station. Then I think we got the same hotel back in Barcelona. Now, the one thing I will tell you now, because we're mixing our vacation here with two transatlantic cruises and the land. So we are packing a large suitcase and a smaller suitcase, like a medium or a carry-on suitcase. Now, when we're on the cruise, we're going to have all of our luggage, obviously. When we get into Barcelona, the other thing that I looked at when I was looking at hotels was I was also looking for luggage storage, because our plan is to store our large suitcases in Barcelona and just take our, I think my wife's taking a medium suitcase. I'm taking a carry-on suitcase and a backpack and for the, all of the land trip. And then when we come back to Barcelona, we'll just pick up our luggage from the luggage storage place, which is right next to the same hotel we're staying at, and then just get on the cruise coming back. And again, it's really not that expensive to store your luggage, so might be something to look into. We did this when we were in Australia, and it was absolutely fabulous. It lightened our load because we were in Australia for over a month. So that's how we kind of planned our trip. And that's kind of how we plan all of our trips, is we start with either the destinations, the places we want to go, or the travel and how we're going to get there, and then try to figure out the destinations based on our travel. Then we look at the transportation options. Then we look at accommodations. And all of this is all based on what we want to do in those destinations that we're going to visit. So it's really not that overwhelming if you can just think of it in these processes. It just kind of blew my mind when we found out that we had these friends that wanted to take a trip to Italy, but they had no clue on even how to book a flight over there. And I don't even understand how people don't have the confidence to book a flight, or people don't have the confidence to book a trip. Now, I will tell you, there are some tips when booking travel that will help you, because a lot of times people don't think about this stuff. But when you fly over, like let's say you're going to Europe, or especially Australia, because at least Europe, when we went to London, we flew over to London. It was about a 10-hour flight from Las Vegas, and that was a nonstop flight. That wasn't too bad. Now, I'm used to that. Again, my wife, that was her longest flight ever until we went to Australia. But the one thing that people always take for granted is they don't, if they're flying over there, they don't account for jet lag. Now, that's something that you have to take into effect, because you are going, your body's going to suffer from it. So that's the nice thing that we actually discovered when we took our first transatlantic cruise when we came back from Europe, was that you eased back into it. Every night they would adjust the time by an hour, so you'd sleep in a little bit longer. So when you got there, you didn't have the jet lag. And so we loved that. And so that's why when this opportunity came up for us to book a transatlantic cruise to Europe and then a transatlantic cruise back from Europe with about 2 weeks or so in between, it just seemed like a prime opportunity and we couldn't pass it up. Not to mention, a lot of these transatlantic cruises, they're a lot cheaper than a standard cruise. Now, again, you have to have the time, because they do take a lot more time, obviously 14 days as opposed to probably just couple hour flight. But you don't have to deal with the jet lag. It's a lot more downtime, a lot more relaxation time. So it's something that you have to take a look at if you have the time and the resources, because a lot of people don't like traveling in a cramped aircraft for long periods of time and then have to deal with the jet lag when you get there. So for us, it's a trade-off that if we have the opportunity, we're going to always do that every single time, because we do have the time. So the other thing that I want to say is that when you travel, well, something that we've learned over the years is that you should always document your travel through photography, through videos. Those are going to serve you well more than any souvenir that you get at any destination. And they're going to last a lot longer as well. You're going to look back on those photos. You're going to look back on those videos. I still look back on the photos that I have when I was younger, when I was in the Air Force and we went over to various different places and traveled around Europe. And that, again, it saves you on having to bring back all these souvenirs. It saves you on budgeting. I hope this helped you guys in understanding that booking travel is not that intimidating. And I hope it gives you confidence to book travel on, of your own and get out there and travel more, because there is a lot to see out there. And that's truly where a lot of growth happens, is when you get to go out and venture and see how other cultures live, how other people just interact in the world. And then you have something to compare to what you're used to at home, good, bad, or indifferent. But you understand by doing that, you actually learn to see what works and what doesn't work. I don't know. I just think that the more you travel, the more you learn to appreciate what you have, what you don't have. And the other thing that I always do, I don't know if anybody else has ever done this, but everywhere I go, I'm always asking myself, is this somewhere that I think I could live? Because I look at so many different things, and then I try to, if it is someplace that I say, yes, I think I could live here, then I ask myself why. And I do that because I'm trying to figure out what it is that I gravitate to the most that makes me happy, that I want to be surrounded by. So I hope this gave you guys some thought on travel and planning travel. And I hope that you guys get out and travel more. I would love to hear some feedback on this, because I can't be the only person that likes to plan travel, likes to research places. And I'd like to know that if you're one of those people that maybe were always intimidated to plan or book any travel because it seemed overwhelming, and if this helped you at all. So if you would, give us some feedback. I would really love to hear some feedback from our listeners to find out if this is something that actually helped you. And as always, we will see you guys in another 2 weeks. Take care.